T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Elliot Shore-Parks does a great job as the Eagles beat reporter for us here at WIP. What's going on, Elliot?
What's up? How you guys doing?
You agree with us that was Sirianni about to say good or great player and then said, nah, I just don't want to go there?
Well, look, I certainly respect that you caught that and are reading into it that much, but I actually agree with Devin. I think he was going to say guy and then switch to player because he wanted to call him a player, right? So I was at the table. I heard his interview. I've spoken to Nick about Miles in the past, all offseason, since the season, and he does think, you know, highly of Miles. Now, look, in the Super Bowl, did Miles struggle? Of course, right? Where I don't think anybody thinks Miles is an all-pro talent.
Right.
But Miles was the best running back on that roster. And I know that's what Nick thought.
Yeah,
so
well,
I really think he was going to say guy.
You could be right. You certainly could be. All right, so Elliot.
Well,
I'm
positive I'm right.
A lot of ways to go here with what's been said over the last 48 hours by the Eagles brass. But let's start with this open-ended question. Between what Howie said, what Sirianni said, and what Lurie said, what do you think was the most notable thing said in the last 2 days?
I think there was a thing. One is that they speak as if this Jalen deal, like, it's going to happen. I don't think there's any chance that by the time, really OTAs maybe, but definitely training camp, that he is not signed. I mean, Jeffrey spoke last night, and he's basically already talking about the implications of giving Jalen the deal, how it's going to impact their scouting, what he's learned from past quarterback franchise deals. And I know the Eagles are not a team that ever – like heavily negotiates through the media. You're not going to see them do that. But we've been through contract negotiations with them. We've seen that, you know, Howie will drop little things and, you know, hype up other players on the roster, those type of things. They are making no mistake about it. Jalen Hurts is going to be signed. But I also think that this probably is not something that's going to happen in the next week. Like, if you're waiting with bated breath, it's not that going to happen that soon. I think you could see another month, few weeks, something like that. But it's going
to
get done.
And Elliot, to that point, why? Is that because they haven't actually agreed to the terms, or they're waiting to figure out a little bit more for how to structure it based on who they acquire?
So I think there's two reasons. One would be there really isn't any urgency. Like, I know that, you know, you want to know what it is, but I think they have a very good idea of what it's going to look like. And also, the expensive part of free agency is mostly over. Is there a chance that they sign for a mega, you know, trade for a mega player? Sure, there's always that chance, but if they do that, it's probably going to be around the draft, which is a month away, right? So there's that. But also, outside of the urgency thing, it is a reality. If you're Jalen, I mean, it doesn't hurt to wait and see what these other quarterbacks get. So I don't think that he's waiting to see it just so he can beat those deals, but they're not playing right now, and I just don't think there's an urgency that we're like, we have to get it done by this week, because it's a big deal, and I think both sides want to make sure they really get what they want out of it before they rush to get it done.
How much input does Nick Sirianni have on the defensive scheme that we run?
I think he has a lot of input in the way that, you know, another thing that, you know, Nick said it again this week, and he said it pretty much every time he's talked about Sean Desai, he's going to do a lot of the things Gannon does, right? Now, I think that
– Elliot, if I could just for a moment, he said that, and he said – basically, he's going to execute the vision of what I want done by my defensive coordinator. I mean, I thought that was very notable, what Sirianni said yesterday.
And I think to a point, that's what Gannon did too, right? Like, it wouldn't shock me if Gannon got to Arizona and ran some version of a different scheme. Now, I think the defensive scheme that they run is correct, right? If you look at what you want to stop big plays in the NFL, you want to obviously create turnovers, sacks, those type of things, right? And that's player-based too. But they were never going to hire somebody that was going to come in here and blitz a ton and, like, be up on the line 80% of snaps in coverage. That's just not what they believe in, right? So I do think Sirianni has a say in it. I think the franchise does. Like, I think, like, Lurie, Howie, like, these are what they believe are the smart decisions to make. And, you know, I personally agree with it. But in terms of what Sirianni does, yes, he absolutely has input on what the defensive game is.
So you had a chance to be there and watch these coaches and owners all interacting together. Can you paint that picture for us? How does Nick Sirianni interact with other NFL head coaches?
Yeah, so, you know, one thing that stands out when you're at these league events, now I'll say, there was certainly a year or so where it didn't feel this way. But the Eagles are just operating on a much higher level than, you know, most other franchises in the NFL. You look around at one table, you know, this head coach is getting absolutely drilled about what's going on with his quarterback. The Washington situation with the sale, right? Like, all these franchises have major problems going on. And the majority of questions for Sirianni were, like, about Reed Blankenship and Quez Watkins, right? So it's just the problems they're dealing with are not on the same level as other franchises. But in terms of how Sirianni interacts, like, so the NFL has a league party on Monday night. It's head coaches, it's general managers, it's media, and everyone's socializing. And Sirianni's a very social guy. He talks to other head coaches. He talks to media. You know, he spent time with Gannon and Shane Steichen. So, yeah, I mean, I think that for a guy that is young, is only in, you know, about to have his third year as a head coach, he's very comfortable in the spotlight, and he's very good at, you know, representing the franchise, I think, at these events.
Why did he talk Trey Sermon up so much the way that he did?
You know, what's funny is I had heard, like, throughout this offseason that they do like Trey Sermon. So I wasn't surprised when he said that. Now, you know, to say that he's killing it in practice every day for 2 months and couldn't get on the field, you know, I don't know about all that.
He had two carries for us last year.
Right.
And now you're telling us this guy's going to factor
into the
offense? And you
loved him off of those two carries.
I thought he was great in San Francisco.
San Fran. Yeah, I remember that.
And then he was drafted in 2021, and then last year he had two carries.
Although, to be fair, they said this about Boston Scott, and that's Joe DeCamber's favorite player now. So who knows in a year, right?
Maybe
he will come out. So, you know, I do think there's a chance. But outside of that, I just think they like Trey Sermon for what his role is going to be. Like and I don't think they're going to sign Ezekiel Elliott. But when the Ezekiel Elliott rumor came out, it was, well, he can be the short yardage back. I think they view Trey Sermon as coming in and being able to do that. Now, I think it's a mistake to go into the season with these four running backs. They need a better, more reliable running back on the roster. But I do think they like Trey Sermon enough that come training camp time, they are going to, you know, want him to get a role on the team. He's going to have to earn it, but I think they want him to come into camp and earn that role.
Elliot Short Parks with us. You know, Elliot, I'm struck here by almost everything we've talked about so far has been something Sirianni or Lurie said. Anything stand out to you from what Howie said 2 days ago?
Well, I mean, it was a lot of Jalen talk.
Yeah.
I will say, you know, I was surprised how kind of, I mean, maybe defensive is too strong of a word, but how Howie kind of pointed out, you know, we talk so much about post-Super Bowl as if it was just, you know, mistake after mistake after mistake. And then, you know, now this offseason is, will he make those same mistakes? Well, Howie kind of got defensive about that and said, you know, even post-Super Bowl, and he cursed, so I'm not going to say the word, mm-hmm. but, you know, was not the kind of huge mistakes everybody thought. Like, they did make the playoffs in back-to-back years. And he highlighted, I believe correctly, that the main problem this franchise had after the Super Bowl was they got terrible quarterback play when Carson Wentz was on the field. Yep. And I don't think that's throwing Carson under the bus as much as it's just the reality. If Carson played at the level he was in 2017, you know, the receivers look better. The offensive line looks better. Much like why last year Jalen should have been MVP, because when you're getting high-level quarterback play, the rest of the roster kind of falls into place. So I was surprised how he decided to get that defensive, but I guess when you just made the Super Bowl, now's a good time to, you know, take that victory lap.
Well, no, it's an interesting answer you just said, Elliot, because it leads me to think, let's get back to the Hurts contract for a sec. They all talked about the Hurts money and the impact. We talk a lot about Hurts. We talk sometimes about McNabb's contract. I think a lot of people forget Michael Vick also got a huge contract from the Eagles.
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
They are, as an organization, 1-for-3 in the salary cap era with a big-time quarterback getting big-time money. 1-for-3, because while Vic was great, he was great on the cheap deal. He was then not good on the big deal. How much do you think that factors into this negotiation?
So I actually asked Jeffrey that last night, because you're right. Like, you know, McNabb, I was a little too young to remember the implications.
No, McNabb delivered. McNabb did his job. Okay. I mean, he didn't win the Super Bowl, but he was terrific on his contract. He was.
Yeah. So, but they've missed on the last two. Now Jeffrey did point out Carson's injuries, and there is truth to that for sure. Now, they gave him the deal after those injuries, yep. which I think was a mistake, right? So it's, you know, it's a little hypocritical to go back and say that. But I think there's a couple things. One, yeah, absolutely, their track record on signing quarterbacks is not good. But I think that the main concern in what you're talking about is that it's hard for any quarterback to reach the level of, like, expectation and pressure that comes with $50 million a year, right? Like, Jalen's going to have to stay healthy for basically three straight years to even reach the base level of what that's going to be. And staying healthy for any player is hard. He's going to have to play to MVP level, which only two or three players in the league pretty much do every year, right? So we can go back and forth and say, you know, Jalen's great, great personality, all these things. I agree with that. The reality is, when you get this much money and you're getting this much pressure, it is extremely hard to reach up to. I mean, look how many quarterbacks, like Aaron Rodgers has won one Super Bowl, right? Joe Burrow hasn't won a Super Bowl. Like, there are quarterbacks that we would universally agree are worth every penny they get, and they have not, you know, won the Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers did it in his second year or whatever. So, yeah, the Eagles have missed, but I just think the reality is when you give someone this much money, it's almost impossible to then meet the standard of what that money kind of dictates.
Elliot, wonderful work. I mean it. Wonderful work out west. I mean, I heard your questions in the press conference. Great stuff. Love it, man. We'll see you back here real soon. Thanks, man.
And I was going to say, I'm on Devin's side that I thought Jaws was big enough to eat a car, and I've never seen Jaws.
You've never seen Jaws.
Elliot, the question wasn't so much whether he's big enough to eat the car. It's the likelihood that he actually ate a car.
Well, he
Why would he eat a car? Why would he eat a car?
Why would he eat a license plate?
Why would a car be in the ocean?
The license plate's small.
So we actually had a caller explain why this happened. So apparently in the autopsy of the hammerhead shark or whatever, they talk about you don't see these types of sharks around here. And then the license plate later is the Louisiana license plate. So it's trying to show that it's not from around here is what a caller called to say.
Well, it's also, Joe, to be fair, the entire thing is based off a fictional shark. So this idea that he could eat a car is not that.
No, I hear you, but I'll say this.
No shark has ever eaten a car.
Dude, I live.
Lots of sharks have eaten license plates.
Elliot, I had a movie based off them.
Yeah,
it's a fake shark.
I'm just telling you, I live right by the Delaware River. I see a lot of debris with frequency. A lot of debris. I've never seen a car floating down there. I see all
have
sorts.
Have you ever seen Jaws in the river?
Thank you. Good point, Elliot.
All right, Elliot, I downgrade you as an Eagles reporter.
Wow.
And I do not thank you for your appearance. See you, buddy.
No problem. Well, I'll see you.
All right, man. Thanks, Elliot Sher Parks. Good
stuff. You turn on him real quick.
Yeah, he turns on me.
I feel slightly responsible for that.
Yeah.
Slightly?
I'm saying goodbye. I'm giving him a great compliment.
Bad blood.
And it gets ugly, man. I don't need that. It's like fantasy baseball. We really do have to figure that out. You know what? I do want
to. No, Joe, there's nothing to figure out. You signed on. You signed up. You actually drafted. You drafted.
But I didn't know what I was doing.
And now the next day after the draft, you're saying, no longer do I want to be a part of this.
I have a solution for you, Joe.
Please tell me.
We need to get an intern, and then we make the intern do it.
I mean, yes.
No, because then when his team starts winning, he's going
to
take the credit.
No, I won't. The problem is I'll have to give the intern my password and this and that and blah, blah, blah. You got to have my phone.
Or you could just, suck it up and do what you committed to do.
You know, Joe didn't create passwords online for how long?
At least 3 to 5 years.
There was a reference in the Jevin song we played, Free Throwing.
Because he thought he was giving out his password.
My email password.
He thought that password they were asking for as he was creating accounts was his universal password.
Correct.
That he was using for everything. So he never made additional, you know, like he's saying he needs someone to download the app for him today because
this is true.
He doesn't have experience downloading apps and doing all that.
Rhea, just,
because he thought he was giving away his personal information by creating new accounts.
If anybody's confused, and I don't think they are about what John said, but to be clear, 10 years ago, if you will, if I went to Amazon and they say username, password, I would say,
nope, not doing it. Not buying from you, Amazon.
I'm not giving Amazon my password
and
my email.
Invasive.
So you just wouldn't buy? Like,
I wouldn't buy. I didn't buy anything online for years and years because I thought every company was asking for my email's password.
Oh, my
God. You're as bad as, I will just say this, Angelo.
It's amazing.
You're almost bad as Angelo, who literally wouldn't log on to his email here because he thought he could only do it from his home computer.
Wow. Wow, that is a wow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.